Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode. Well guys, I haven't made a podcast in a while and I do apologize. You're about to find out why. I've been extremely busy. When I get focused on a project, I see it all the way through to make sure it's completed and done. And that's where we're at pretty much today. I got some loose ends to finish up on this major project that I just finished. But a lot of you guys that are listening to the podcast are actually going to know about this. I may not even put this on my YouTube channel. But for a lot of you guys that have been wondering where I've been and what I've been up to and, you know, what type of progress we've been making in different aspects as far as, you know, everything. So to get right down to the nitty gritty here, we just finished building a shipping container home. I did everything. I did all the work. I purchased a container and then we prepped the outside, meaning it was a used shipping container. And so it wasn't like brand new or anything, right? So it had some rust here and there, but minor stuff. And a couple of dents here and there. No big deal though. Some small stuff. I purchased that and then I had it sitting in my front yard for about a month because I was waiting for a lot of stuff to arrive because I had to order a whole bunch of stuff online to be delivered. So we prepped the outside. I sanded and wire wheeled all the rusty spots, treated it with a rust converter, and then put rusty metal primer on it. We did that for the whole container. There was a lot of little spots, like just little spots, but it bothered me. So we went over the entire outside of the container, prepping it. Then we actually paint it with direct metal paint. So it's all painted on the outside and complete. This whole container is complete, just to let you guys know. It is pretty much done, like inside and out. So I'm just kind of walking you guys through the rough stuff real quick to get into the good stuff. So we prepped the container, cleaned up a lot of it. I cut out all the windows and doors for this shipping container. I used many different tools. I do have footage. I'm just debating if I'm going to release it or not. I don't know. We'll see. But I did cut out all the windows and all the doors. And then I welded up 2x2 box steel tubing as the supporting frame for the windows. I put those in. I welded those into the container. Got that all squared away. That took almost 2 weeks, depending with the weather and stuff. And I didn't work on it every day. I was in between other things as well. So there was like a 3-day stretch where I just cut metal, weld, grind it down my welds to make them smooth, make sure everything is on par, install them into the container, weld them in. And then we obviously grinded and cleaned all around the frame that we welded in. Treated that with a rust converter and the whole frame, and then we put rusty metal primer on everything, and then we also put the final color on everything as well. So I sprayed the whole container the final color without having the windows installed. That way I could spray up and around the edges of that metal frame that I welded into the walls and stuff for the windows and the doors. After that was all done, you know, now we had ventilation coming through the building because we had a bunch of holes in the container, right? I have one sliding door, one main entry door. I have two living room windows. That's including the sliding door. Not including the sliding door. The sliding door would be the third window, I guess you could call it. And then we have a bathroom, a really nice bathroom. We also have a small window in there for ventilation, and then two more windows in the bedroom. So the way that I designed this container, at least, was on one end is the bedroom that has two windows, a hallway, and then a bathroom with a nice size walk-in shower, full-on toilet, full-on kitchen, bathroom vanity and sink, all of that stuff. And then as far as the kitchen area, we made an area obviously for the refrigerator, the kitchen countertops, the countertop itself. I have a butcher block countertop. We have all brand new, very modern, stylish components and lighting and sinks and all kind of stuff. Very, very modern look. We have inset puck lighting throughout the building. There is a total of 9 lights in that shipping container home. There is 1, 2, 3, 4 light switches that control obviously different things. A breaker panel that's fully wired in. We framed everything. We insulated. That's another thing I should back up is after everything was painted and done, as far as the cutting of windows and welding and most of that metal work, I went ahead and actually pressure washed the whole container out. I wiped everything down. Why? Because the metal shavings from grinding, cutting, and welding and wire wheeling goes everywhere. And so you want to be able to get all that up. So as I was doing a lot of work, I was vacuuming a lot of that dust up. And I shop vac, obviously with a filter to catch all of that stuff so it's not spreading in the air. After I vacuumed everything, I went in there with a pressure washer and literally pressure washed the whole entire container to get every bit of grime out of there. You know, the floors, the nooks and crannies, the ceiling, the walls, everything got pressure washed, cleaned. And then we let it sit and dry out for about 3 days completely to make sure the floor was completely dry, everything was completely dry. And then after that, we installed insulation. Now, for the insulation, what did we use? Because this is a very important part of the design of this container, is I used a PE product, which is like aluminum foil on both sides, but a PE filler on the inside of that. It comes in like real big rolls, and that was extremely hard for me to get here locally. So I had to source that online and then make deals with people, because every time I tried to order it, they canceled my order on me because they don't want to ship to Hawaii. You guys might be thinking, oh, why didn't you go with spray foam? Well, on the island that I'm on, at least, I could not find a spray foam company to spray foam it. I looked, I could not find one. So with that said, I was stuck with a couple of options, right? I could use paneling as far as that insulation stuff is concerned, but I didn't like that option. And since we don't have insulation, I had to source this other product. And it took a while to work out because I ordered from many different companies and all of them canceled because I don't want to ship to Hawaii. So I got lucky with one of them. They actually canceled my one company canceled my order. But I called them up and I asked them, I said, hey, look, I know why you guys are canceling the order, because you guys don't want to ship to Hawaii because it's expensive to ship to Hawaii because they're big boxes, right? And I said, I don't have a problem paying for the shipping. So I said, if you guys can ship it to me, just add the shipping cost to it and I'll pay for the shipping. I said, that way I can receive the product and use it. I said, we really need it. So that company ended up working with us to do that. So they made a special pricing for us that included the shipping of 5 boxes of this stuff to Hawaii, and that's how I was able to get the insulation. The insulation was applied with contact cement because it's thin stuff, but the R rating is extremely high. The R rating on this is anywhere between 15 to 27. That's the R rating for this insulation. And so it was so thin that I couldn't believe that that was the case. But after putting it in, it's absolutely the case. I am extremely ecstatic about the insulation that we put in this place. So we installed the insulation on the ceiling, the walls, everything. All the seams between each piece is sealed with a very sticky, like not regular tape, but I don't remember the name of the tape, but it's a very special tape, to basically, because you want it to be airtight, right? Because you don't want no moisture. The whole point of putting insulation is to keep the inside of the container more of a normal temperature, because normally temperatures in a shipping container can get extremely hot, and it was extremely hot, let me tell you, like really hot at one point, until I put the insulation in. So that got applied to the ceilings and walls. All the seams were seamed. Even where it meets the floor, I have seam tape attached to the floor to the insulation on the walls. So that way we're pretty much creating a like sealed environment from the metal container itself, right? So we're using that as that separation, that insulation. So after all that was installed, that took, I think, one, two, three, I want to say 3 or 4 1 gallon of probably about 3 gallons to 4 gallons of contact cement, because you apply it to both surface, you wait about 10 to 15 minutes, then you can stick it on and it sticks very well. So that's how we applied it to the container. I left the main doors for the container, the original doors, open as long as I could before I had to be forced to close it up. Another thing with those doors is I ripped off the old seals from the shipping container doors, threw them away, and I purchased brand new weather seals and put them on. So we have brand new rubbers around the seals, everything, right? I'm not going to cheap out on using old seals if you're going to build a shipping container home. You want everything to be nice and dry and no problems. So I also sealed the doors. So there's two doors, right? Obviously, to a shipping container. One of the doors I closed up more towards after we already framed everything. We got the bathroom framed in. I was trying to leave those two doors open because it was just easier to move stuff into the container instead of going all the way around through the front door or through the sliding door, right? Especially when you're dealing with long pieces of lumber. So I completely framed out the shipping container, and I actually framed it standing on its edge. So normally you do like a your bottom plate would be flat, just a standard framing of stick frame 2x4 wall, right? Well, in this case, I stood it on its edge. And why did I do that? I did that because I wanted to squeeze every square inch, and I mean it, every square inch out of that building, because it's a shipping container, right? So you're really limited on space in there. So I thought way ahead about this. That's why I was very adamant about using that insulation that I installed, because it's very thin. So I installed the insulation, and then I framed the whole container out, framed out the bathroom, framed everything in. After that was done, obviously I did put a ceiling on, right? Rafters, I guess you would call it. But I raised the ceiling pretty much as high as I absolutely could, because once again, I want to squeeze as much space out of that space as much as possible. So our walls are not sticking out very bulky because I was able to squeeze every inch out, so it looks very big inside compared to what it would have been. And then as far as the ceiling, like I said, there is literally maybe it's a high cube container, so it's 9 foot 6 feet. There is about only 3 inches from the metal top of the container to my rafters. I raised the ceiling as high as I could, without touching the ceiling. I didn't want the wood to touch the ceiling. Keep in mind, we do have insulation in, on the ceiling too, right? But there's about 3 to 2 inches, somewhere right around there, is the gap between the rafter and the actual metal top of the container, right? So I raised it up as high as I could, which I'm glad, because I got really high ceilings in there. They're over 8 feet tall, right? They're like 9 foot something. Like 9 foot 3 inches, somewhere around there. So that's taller than your average room. So if you're in your house right now, and you look up at your ceiling, the distance from the floor to the ceiling is only 8 feet in most homes, unless you have vaulted ceilings. So in the shipping container, I want to squeeze every ounce of space out. So I raised, made sure I raised the ceiling absolutely as high as I could, right? And then obviously, like I said, everything was framed on its edge. Now I did 16 on center. That's a lot of lumber. I don't need to do 16 on center. I can do 24 on center, but I want to build it strong. I want to build it as best as I can, considering that I'm not building it like a normal stick frame house. I wanted to add all that extra lumber to help support everything else. Not only that, it was going to make it way easier for me to be able to nail off or screw off anything, any of the interior wall eventually, right? So I did 16 on center, but you could easily do 24 on center if you'd like. Framed it all out, rafters in. We got metal straps that we're basically building a box within a box, if that makes any sense. We're building that interior box as big as possible, right? To squeeze out as much space, and that's what I did. So after the framing was done on the interior, there's a lot of steps in between this that, I'm not covering right now, but maybe in a YouTube video or something, I'll put it out there. Framed everything in, and then I finally closed up one door, and then I sealed that door from the inside as well. So there's a seam all the way around the interior of that door. That seam is completely sealed. So that door will never open again in its life. It's sealed. Now, could I force it open if I wanted to? Yeah, I could, of course, open the door if I really wanted to. But there's no reason to do that because it's sealed up. I have brand new weather stripping for the shipping container doors I installed, and then I sealed the gap for the door itself all the way around. And then I already had the flooring. I already had everything I needed because by that time, everything has been pretty much arrived. I went to Home Depot, I went to Lowe's, and I literally had stacks of stuff all in the garage over here, ready to be installed. Lumber, I mean everything, right? 2x4s, and I mean just miscellaneous of everything. Screws, ring shank nails, and so forth, right? Everything you need. And I already have all the tools to do all this, so I didn't have to buy any tools. I already have all the tools. I have every tool I need to build a house, obviously. After we framed the inside, everything got anchored. The interior frame got anchored to the actual metal container, right? So it's a box within a box that is essentially secured to the interior of the container. So it's very solid. And then that one door that I left open where I didn't seal it up yet, I was using to start bringing in a lot of the lumber. Not for the 2x4 walls and stuff, because that's all been framed already. It's for the tongue-in groove pine pieces of lumber. I bought a trailer full of it, and from like different places, and then used that one door because they were 12-foot long pieces. I was looking for longer pieces, but they don't sell them. So, well, at least not here locally. They had 12-foot pieces. So I ended up installing the ceiling with that one door open because it's just so much easier to slide stuff into the container with that one door open, right? So I went ahead and installed the tongue-in groove on the ceiling, got that all squared away, and then I started putting the tongue-in groove on the back wall where that one door is closed because I could obviously do that wall all the way across. And the tongue-in groove pine is very beautiful wood. I'll kind of walk you guys through the steps of what I had to do to put it all in. Now, you guys might think, why didn't I put drywall? Well, because the building will be moved at another time. I'm actually going to put the shipping container building up for sale. And if no one buys it within about 3 months after I put it up for sale, I'm going to actually go and rent it out. I'm going to go put it on a different property and rent it out to make some rental income on that, because I do have money out on it and all my time and labor building it, right? So that's the game plan. So if any of you guys are interested in the shipping container home and you guys want to see pictures or video of it, you guys can email me and I can send you guys pictures if you guys would like. I do have my website, turnwasteintoenergy.com. I don't have nothing on it at the moment. Because I just haven't had time, but I will put the pictures and stuff on there and show that it is for sale once it's available for sale. And like I said, if it doesn't sell, I'm not worried about it because it's literally going to turn into a rental property on another property for me. So, but if I do sell it, then fine. Then we'll start all over again. A lot of work to build these things, though. Let me tell you, lots. I mean, months and months and months and months of building. Because I didn't want to just put something together that was going to be like half-ass. I wanted something that's going to be solid and beautiful. And, I wanted to make sure I used the best of the best that I could get. And that's what I did. This place is absolutely beautiful when you walk inside of it.
like next level, like very, very nice. So I put the tongue and groove, and every tongue and groove is kind of like flooring. You want to stagger the flooring, right? So the tongue and groove is basically the same thing on a wall, or a ceiling. You want to stagger that. So there was hundreds, if not thousands, of cuts that I had to make. Just enormous amount of cuts, because everything has to be cut in a way where they overlap the joints. But not only that, you want to try to maximize the lumber for the size that you're cutting. So a lot of thinking involved in making sure that you maximize the material you have, and making sure that you overlap where it's going to look nice, and not only that, serve its purpose of overlapping correctly to make everything strong. So I did the ceiling, and right after I did the ceiling, right before I did the walls, I actually painted the ceiling. I painted the ceiling completely white. It's called bakery box white. That's the color I used. I painted the ceiling white. Why? Because I didn't want the wood look all the way around the container inside of it, because it would have been too much. It would have been too much wood, like a little bit too much wood. And I was going for a certain look. So I painted the ceiling with three coats or no, four coats. No, three coats. Three coats of bakery box on an airless sprayer. So it's on there really good. I drilled out for all my holes. I pre-ran all my wiring. I pre-ran all that stuff, right? So it's all wired up, breaker box, everything. Pre-ran where I was going to put all the puck lighting. So that way, when it came time for me to put the ceiling on piece by piece, I could account for where the lights were going and drill out for those areas and then install the puck lighting itself, right? So all the before I even put all the siding or the T111, not T111, tongue and groove, pine in, everything was wired. I already had everything wired for plugs, lights, light switches, GFCIs for the bathroom, GFCIs for the kitchen, all of that stuff. So it was all, I already wired it all. And then put the ceiling on, painted it, drilled out for the holes for the puck lights, and installed the puck lights. That way I could actually, what I did was I wired up a plug to my breaker box that I installed, so I could plug it into like an EcoFlow or plug it into the house to power up that building. So I'd have lights. So if I wanted to work at nighttime, or if I needed to run in and out and it was dark, I could turn on the lights, right? So I put that in. Actually, I put that in after I sealed the wood. So after I, no, I'm sorry. Let me back up, because there's so many steps to all of this. Is that after I installed the ceiling, I have three or four coats of paint on it, so it's nice and white. Then I drilled out, put my inset lighting in, wired them up so I'd have lighting, and then I decided to start putting the tongue and groove onto the walls, right? Because there's a lot of wall to cover, 40 feet on one side, 40 feet on another side, plus the ceiling was 40 feet long, plus it's taller, right? Because keep in mind, it's not on a regular 8-foot wall anymore. It's so very tall in there, so it looks like a lot of, looks like when you walk in there, there's a lot of room. And that was premeditated, because it needed to be like that to make it look bigger. So I squeezed every inch out of it, put all the tongue and groove on. That took a while, because lots of cuts, lots of overlaps, blah 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 blah. So put all that in, and after that was done, I went ahead and whitewashed all the walls. Whitewashed it. After I whitewashed all the walls, I let that dry up really good, and it looks really good. The reason I'm doing that is because pine, naturally, if you leave it out in the sun, or if the sun hits it long enough, it starts to yellow, right? So I wanted to brighten up the wood a little bit. Instead of it having just have a that regular pine look, I wanted to brighten it up. So I whitewashed it, so you can still see the wood grain, you can see the knots. It looks beautiful. After I whitewashed everything, I went in there and I sprayed 4 gallons, 4 gallons, guys, of polyurethane sealer on top of all the whitewash. I covered up, I took off all the lights and all that stuff, so I wouldn't get overspray on stuff. But I literally sprayed everything. The ceiling got sprayed, everything got sprayed. With about 4 gallons, 1, 2, 3, yeah, 4 gallons of polyurethane sealer. So the wood in that container home now is 100% sealed. It is, you can, when you touch the walls, it feels nice because there's literally a nice thick layer of polyurethane on top of everything protecting it. So the walls got whitewashed, everything got polyurethane sealed. And then I finally got to the point where I could close up that last door because now I'm working on that last wall. So I sealed up that door, sealed up from the inside as well, finished putting the tongue and groove on that last wall, sealed it, paint, you know, all the same things. So it's all done as far as that's concerned. So now we have tongue and groove white ceiling with inset puck lighting throughout the building. Very beautiful. And then we have tongue and groove all on the walls, whitewashed and sealed. And then after I did all that, I completely cleaned the container out with tools and miscellaneous stuff and, you know, clean everything out. And then after that was done, I went ahead and started installing the flooring. Now, I installed the shower. I already installed all that stuff when I framed the bathroom. So when I framed the bathroom, I pre-installed the shower. I cut the hole for the shower already. I already have it stubbed down. So a lot of that was already done. Like I said, I'm not going to cover every detail. It'd be hours long of a podcast here. So installed the flooring. I have like a LifeProof flooring product. Very nice looking. So that gets staggered as well and installed. So I installed all the flooring, got that all installed. And that's when it changed the whole container. Because when the walls look made, it looked, everything looked beautiful already. But when the wall, when your floor is dirty and you have, you know, just dirt all over the place or, you know, paint or whatever spilt here and there, you know, it's a shipping container floor, right? It's not beautiful. But when it looks dirty like that, it doesn't look nice against the wall because the floor is dirty, right? So we cleaned up the floor, cleaned it really well. And then it got scrubbed down because I'm very picky. I don't want to have dust or sawdust or any pieces of debris anywhere. I want things to be extremely clean. That's how I am. So installed the flooring. After the flooring was installed, that took 2 days of me doing that. The first day I went as long as I could till my back was sore. And then I took a break because I was kind of burnt out of it for that day. It was a long day. It was like a 12-hour day of putting flooring in and cutting and sizing. And then, you know, when you come up and around a wall or you go into the bathroom, there's all those little cuts you have to make. So that, you know, ate up some time. And then the second day I finished up putting all the flooring in. That took some fine tuning and everything to make sure everything blended and looked well. After the flooring was in, it looked beautiful. It transformed the container into an actual home because now you can start seeing the actual finished product, right? So after that was done, I actually had leftover tongue and groove. And I don't like to use particle wood if I don't have to. So I didn't use any particle board in that container. It's all solid wood in that container. It's all pine, to be exact. Pine is a softwood, to be technical, but it's not particle wood, right? It's an actual solid wood compared to anything else, right? So flooring was installed. And after the flooring was installed, I installed the bathroom vanity and sink, drilled the hole through the floor. You have to account for a lot of things because underneath a shipping container has these metal supporting ribs or beams, and there's a ton of them. So when I did my layout for the bathroom and I did the layout for everything, I made sure that I was avoiding those beams because I didn't want to come into an issue later on with drilling through the floor for the piping. And come across a beam, right? So everything was accounted for way ahead of time. So, put the bathroom vanity in, all that stuff. Got the shower mixing valve in. The plumbing I already did when I did the electrical, the hot and cold water lines. That's all plumbed in and everything. That was all done when I did the electric. First I did the electric, then I ran the plumbing before I started doing everything else. And then after that was done, I have all that, I had some, like quite a bit of leftover cutoff pieces and I don't want to waste, right? And it's good wood compared to like particle wood and stuff, right? So it was really good wood. So I decided to rip down all the pieces that I had and create trim out of them. So I didn't have to go and buy trim, because I had enough pieces to do 90% or 95% of the whole container. So I cut everything down, put trim up and around the edges, on the floor, around the doors, around the windows, you know, and I literally just got done doing the trim yesterday. So today, since I have a lot of, because every piece of trim got sanded, every edge of trim got sanded after I ripped them down to size, we literally sanded for days and days and days. There is sawdust and sanding dust everywhere in my garage. So I'm actually working on cleaning up my garage today, believe it or not. I had to take a break from it and kind of give you guys a heads up what's been happening behind the scenes here. So tons of sanding. All the trim is installed. So I'm taking the opportunity now, because the trim really burnt me out, because I was literally making my own trim, right, out of all the leftover material that I had available. And then, believe it or not, I was short 4 pieces of board to finish up the last bit of trim. So I didn't have to buy trim, but that's because I already purchased all that the pine ahead of time, right? And so I ripped all that down, sanded it all down, put it all in, and I was short 4 boards. So yesterday I went and got those last 4 boards, ripped them down, sanded them, cut them down to size, installed them into the container. So as of yesterday afternoon, all the trim for everything around the shower, around the doors, around the windows, around the ceiling, around the baseboards, everything is installed. So I feel really good that I got to that point yesterday. So I'm cleaning up the garage, vacuuming up all the sawdust and the mess, because I need room in the garage, because I've been walking over things. It's just a mess, right? So I'm cleaning up the garage today, trying to make some room. And it feels good that I can actually put a lot of the tools away, because I've been bringing out all my tools for the last however many months to build this, right? And so it's nice to be able to start putting some tools away that you know you're not going to use again, right? So when you walk into that container now, all the lights work, all the plugs work, we have power running to it. It is a beautiful shipping container home. Beautiful. It is very, very nice. Installed all the kitchen countertops, the kitchen cabinets, you know, all of that stuff. So what's left to do with the shipping container home that I've been working on for many, many months now? I am going to caulk all the trim. So all the trim that I just installed, I'm going to caulk all the trim, all the joints, everything. And then I'm going to go ahead and tape off all the trim and hand paint over everything to give it a really nice fresh of paint, coat of paint. A lot of it I already pre-painted when I put it in, but I'm going to repaint over it all because I'm very picky. I want to make sure that everything blends and looks smooth and nice, right? So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I need to caulk all that, and I need to go ahead and paint all of that. Once those two things are done, I only have, let's see. After those two things are done, all I got to do is put some light switch covers on. My light switches are in there. They all work, but I don't have no covers on them. So I need to put some light switch covers on them. And then after that, the container is complete and done. Like, done on the inside. The outside, the only thing I need to do is add some trim up and around the windows and doors to kind of tie everything in for the last bits. So I got maybe a few days of work left to tidy up this shipping container home and be complete with it and done. But let me tell you, it was a lot of work. Like, a lot of work. I mean, when you watch these videos online and people building shipping container homes and stuff, you may think it's easy. Think again. We're talking months of work and everything done like premeditated, right? Like the layout of the bathroom, the layout of where the plumbing would fall way ahead of time. All these things have to be a thought of, because a lot of guys build these things and then they try to go through the floor sometimes and they hit the metal ribs and they're like, oh my God, right? So I wanted to use high quality stuff that looked nice. And so that way, that's just how I am. And the thing is, the container home can be moved anywhere. And I don't have to worry about the walls cracking from the drywall. I don't have to worry about nothing. Because when I put that tongue and groove wood
onto the 16 on center frame that I built. That 16 on center frame already strengthened the building inside, right? From, you know, twisting, moving, anything like that. When I put the tongue and groove on, it basically tied everything together as one mass, right? Because there's thousands and thousands of brad nails holding all that tongue and groove on. So it's a very, very strong box. Let's put it that way, on the interior and exterior now. So if it gets picked up and moved, I don't have to worry about it cracking the seams or anything because, well, there's no seams to crack, right? It's all solid wood. So happy about that. But a lot of work, guys, went into it, like a lot. I'm sugarcoating the amount of work that went into it, but we're talking a ton of work, guys. I'm working on it every single day. Every day for months. There's maybe a few days here and there where I was either burnt out, tired, or I had other priorities that I need to go, you know, run and take care of and stuff like that. So, you know, not exactly every day, but, you know, if there's a 7-day week, 5 days out of those 7 days or 6 days out of those 7 days, and a lot of times 7 days out of 7 days was work. So it's kind of hit and miss when I was trying to take a break or trying to rest my body, because a lot of bending over, a lot of cutting, a lot of movements, a lot of walking back and forth. I have probably millions of steps of walking in and out of that container, building it and going around it and doing all this work. So don't take it lightly, guys. It is a ton of work, a ton of work. But whoever buys it or whoever rents it from me will be ecstatic, because literally the inside of that container looks better than the inside of my own home. Like, that's how nice it looks on the inside of the container. It's beautiful, guys. Very, very beautiful. So that's kind of what I've been up to for the last, I don't know how many months, what, 4 months, 5 months maybe. And you got to keep in mind too, 90% of the work I did myself. There was maybe 10% of work where I had, my wife or my stepdaughter giving me a hand, you know, because a lot of times when you put the tongue and groove on the roof, you need an extra hand to hold it while you pound it in and you get everything lined up and nailed off, right? So there's no, you know, could you build a shipping container home by yourself? Yeah, but it's really nice to have some extra pairs of hands when you really need them, you know? So if my wife or my stepdaughter is listening to this podcast, I really appreciate all you guys' help, that you guys helped me here and there, you know, to get it where it's at. There was a lot, because here's the thing, guys, there was a lot of movements, a lot of things. You know, we have a lot of late nights driving across the island to a different store, not coming back until like 11 o'clock at night, midnight, because that's the only stores that have it. And we'd have to go across the island multiple times with trailers to go pick up certain types of materials and things. And some stores over here run out, so then we'd have to go to a different store, a different place, different location, and drag the trailer with us to be able to, you know. So a lot of movements just getting materials, let alone building it, right? So yeah, the shipping container is absolutely beautiful. I got a couple of loose ends, and then the container will be put up for sale. And then if not, it will be rented out. So yeah, either way, it's going to be a good thing. But whoever does buy it, if someone does buy it, they're going to be extremely happy with it, because like I even tell my wife, I said, I'm going to be sad if it actually sells. I'd rather rent it out because I know I still own it and I still keep it, right? Because I have, you know, blood, sweat, and tears into that thing. So much work into that thing. I told her, I said, if someone does buy it, I'll be sad because, you know, we put so much work into it. But hey, this is what we do, right? We are going to build out a few more of these. The next one, we're going to do a little bit different floor plan. We're going to put the bathroom on the end just because I don't like doing the same thing twice, you know, because it's too boring. So on the next one will be a different design, and then the next one will be a different design on the inside. So every one will be unique in its own way and completely different. So, but I do need a break. I do need a break from building because I'm burnt out, guys. You know, my feet, just everything. My feet, my back, my neck, my arms, just everything is just a lot of work, right? Now, if I, the question is this sometimes, is it faster to build a regular like wood building than a shipping container home? Absolutely. If you're like, if you're gauging the exact same size as a shipping container and you were going to build it out of wood, absolutely. That thing would be done in a split second. But the problem is that you could never move the building because there's no way to load it up on any, to anything. A shipping container can be picked up, right? Picked up. It's made to be picked up and dropped off at wherever you want. And so that's the benefit of having the container, is that it can literally be picked up and moved to any location, and be set up immediately for use. Because all you do is you put power to it, you put water to it, and you have a functional building. You have lights, you have a bathroom, you have a shower, you know, all these things. So another thing is, a lot of thinking process went into the lighting of this building. So for 9 lights that I have in that shipping container home, it only uses 54 watts, I believe, 54 to 56 watts, somewhere in there, to run all the lights. That's extremely good. Like very, very, I mean, when you walk in and you turn on the lights, it's a lot of light. If you turn on every light switch, there's a lot of light in there. It's very bright. And for it to only use about 54 watts is extremely good. So I spent a lot of time finding the most efficient lighting, to go in there, and the most beautiful looking, you know, so that's in there. So it's very efficient. I'm building this to be efficient. So if someone buys it, you know, it's going to be a very efficient building, as far as not only the building itself, but the electrical, the plumbing, the water usage, all of that, it has been accounted for, right? So it's going to be a very good home for someone that wants to put it off grid to live in permanently, or while they build their main home. And then once their main home is built and done, they can resell the container because it's going to hold its value. The only way the container will lose its value is if whoever owns it or whoever's living in it destroys it, right? Like destroys the inside of it. But everything can still be fixed, right? But still, you know, it'll hold its value. So I'm extremely ecstatic about that. But yeah, I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I literally just have to do the caulking and the hand painting of the trim all the way around just to put a second coat on everything. And then I already have a couch that's going in there. We have a nice, beautiful, beautiful kitchen sink in a butcher block countertop, kitchen top, right? Very beautiful. We have an inset flat mount a cooktop with two double burners, essentially. It's electric. So it's very beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So that's what I've been up to for, I don't know, however many months it's been. The days blend together at this point sometimes, just because you're so focused on your project, you know. But yeah, I'm going to work on cleaning up the garage, putting a lot of my tools away. I just need to take a break from the trim and dealing with all that, because I've been dealing with that for, oh man, like a week, every day, 10 hours a day. Now, would it have been easier to go and buy trim? Sure. 100% it would have been easier, but I don't believe in putting something in that's subpar. Like a lot of the trim that we get here locally that you can put in is particle wood. And that's not good, because it's just going to, over time, if it gets wet or whatever, it's going to swell up. Then you're going to be forced to have to rip off all that trim. Well, that's not going to happen with my trim, because my trim is wood. It's not going to swell up. You don't have to replace it. It'll be there forever. Unless you just don't like the trim and you want to rip it off and put your own trim on. That's up to you, right? But yeah, I need a break from the trim. So after this podcast, I'm literally going to walk back out in the garage, continue cleaning up my mess, vacuuming up all that sawdust, get all that squared away. Now, for those of you that have listened to the podcast to the very end here, there's a surprise. I do have another shipping container already, but not a 40-footer like the one I just built out. So to be clear, the shipping container that I built is a 40-foot long high cube shipping container home. Okay, I have another shipping container that's very small, real small. It's only like 7 feet by 7 by 7 or something like that. A very small shipping container. It's actually a shipping container. It's just very small. And that's actually going to be made into a power room. And I have that sitting on my trailer for like the last month, because I just haven't had time to unload it to start building that out. So once this shipping container home is done and complete and I put it up for sale, I will be building out a mini shipping container for all my power stuff. So there's a lot of stuff you guys don't know. I have all brand new batteries for a whole brand new solar system I'm installing. I have brand new inverters. I have a whole bunch of rack batteries, like I kind of like my off-grid home in that sense, but same batteries but different inverters. I have some EG4 6000 XPs. They're brand new ones that came out. I've had them for a few months already at least. I did a mock-up in my garage, so I have two inverters so I can have about 12,000 watts of output. So I mocked everything up, programmed everything, tested the system, tested the batteries, charged the batteries, made sure everything was good. That way, when it comes time for me to install it into that mini shipping container, it's going to be just straightforward, right? Basically, we're just transferring everything from where I have it mounted now into that actual building. So that will be the next project. I will probably film that one and put that one on YouTube. The shipping container one, you guys will have to go to my website most likely to see the pictures and see it for sale. And if you guys are interested in it, you guys can hit me up. And, you know, if you're in the area, if we're moving to Hawaii or considering it, or you have land over here and you need something to put on it to live in, this is an absolute great option for you. Absolute great option. I have a bunch of money into this. I have a bunch of time and labor, blood, sweat, and tears into this thing. Endless nights of thinking through the process of every little detail. There's so much thinking that goes into building a box within a box and trying to maximize the square footage. So there's a lot of room in there. But yeah, it's beautiful. So yeah, I don't know if you guys can even tell in my voice. I'm a little tired, a little exhausted. So I just want to kind of update everybody what's happening. I appreciate you guys tuning in to the podcast today. And look forward to check out my website, turnwasteintoenergy.com. In a week or two, I should start posting pictures of it. And people can actually start seeing it for sale and stuff like that. And then you guys will also start seeing the build process of the mini shipping container power room. That I'm going to be using for backup power that I can move anywhere I want. So, you know, definitely stay tuned, guys, for that. So anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in. I hope you guys have an awesome day. Always keep your head up. Work hard. If you put the time in, you put the effort in, you can accomplish anything, guys. Sure, is it a lot of work? Yes. But is it worth it in the end? Absolutely. So keep your head up. Stay strong, guys. And I'll see you guys on the next one.